What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kenelia, back with another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. Well, that rap beef is over. The rap beef is over. Hey, J. Cole, well, I won't say it's over. On the J. Cole side, in regards to the J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar beef, and asterisk Drake, because he was in it too and he ain't said nothing. J. Cole said he done. I was not expecting this. So, backing up, last week we talked about, or maybe it was the week before, I don't remember which week. I talked about how out of nowhere, at least from my perspective, because I'm old and I don't know who beefing with who, and I ain't got time to be listening to stuff to see what the lead in is, okay? I'm not abreast on what's happening. But apparently a rap beef started between those three, what people consider the big three, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole. However it started, go back and listen to the other episode of Black News to get a diet recap, because again, I was giving y'all, I don't know all the facts, but I do know we were waiting on somebody to respond to Kendrick Lamar, right? J. Cole said something about him being a big three. Kendrick Lamar responded and said, ain't no big three. I'm the big one. Okay. I'm top two and ain't number two. He ain't say that part, but I'm translating it. Okay. J. Cole responded. Dropped a whole mixtape or album or EP, I don't know what we're calling it, called Might Delete Later. On that, there is a song called 7-Minute Drill where he is clapping back at Kendrick Lamar. Going in. I'm talking about rap beef battle. And I'm not saying beef like the 1990s East Coast versus West Coast beef. I talked about last week, I love me a good wholesome rap beef, because it's not about the petty. It's about who rap better with some extra jabs thrown in. Okay. I am a child of, I've seen all the rap beefs. My favorite rap beef was Jay-Z and Nas. I was prime hip hop head at the time. It got messy. Nobody got hurt. Fast forward to many, many, many years later, Jay-Z and Nas are good friends. So if you ask me about rap beef, I don't mind back the old beef where it be like some gunshots in the background, okay? I like my beef with a little gun clickety clack, but not in real time, okay? Not in real life. I like Takeover. I liked Ether. I liked Super Ugly, okay? I like Is That Your Chick? I liked all of those moments. So when I saw this happening, I was like, oh, shoot, we about to get good. OK, kind of like when Pusha Terrence and Drake had that rap beef of years past. So J. Cole dropped a song, dropped the album, song came out. Everybody was, oh, you done woke up to be, oh, sleeping. You done shook the tape. Oh, that's just a warning shot. Oh, before Kendrick Lamar even had a chance to respond, J. Cole comes out and apologizes. Now, I'm going to play the apology in full. So just a heads up, it is like a 4-minute clip. It is lengthy, but I'm playing it in context because J. Cole talks about how he got to this point and how him and his approach that he took does not fit right in his spirit. And it just speaks to many different layers of being a human being and maturity, to the point where he basically says that just who I am, it just doesn't sit right. I wasn't living right in the past, and I came out of that space, and I've been living right for the past however many years, and this put me back to a place, and it turned me back into a person that I'm no longer and I don't want to be, which is extremely commendable, right? It is very commendable for a grown man in hip hop to acknowledge something that was going on acknowledge some stuff that he said was a little crazy, because he started a conversation and people started going in talking about Kendrick Lamar albums wasn't good. Kendrick Lamar is a Pulitzer Prize winner. Like, it just started a whole level of discourse that I don't think J. Cole anticipated in that way. But we rarely see men being like, you know what, I'm good on this. I'm going to apologize and right the wrongs, or set the course, set it back in a different direction. Now, before I play the clip, I'm going to pose the question, though, because while J. Cole has waved the white flag and he on his grown man, is Kendrick Lamar going to accept that and not respond? Because whether J. Cole responded or not, there is still, when it comes to hip hop, a rap song targeted at you with no response. So I feel like this will be very interesting for us to watch as hip hop fans, as music fans, because I don't think we've ever seen a beef where the person apologized this way. In case you don't remember, and some of my Black News listeners, y'all might be too young for this, or maybe wasn't really deep into hip hop like this back then. During the Nas and Jay-Z beef, Jay-Z actually apologized. It wasn't like this. It wasn't, no, I ain't this type of person no more. It was, they went back and forth, Takeover, Ether. Jay-Z responded, was super ugly. Jay-Z called into the radio station. I think he called into Angie Martinez. And if it wasn't Angie, it probably was Funk Flex, because them was the two on the radio station at the time. New York. And said, you know what, I apologize. My mom called me and she didn't like the direction this was going, and she didn't like some of the stuff I was saying that took it too far. Moms told me that I need to chill out with this and I'm doing too much. So I'm going to apologize for some of the stuff that I said, because I went far. Okay. Jay-Z apologized. He apologized again because his mom pulled him to the side, Mama Carter, and was like, hey now. J. Cole apologized because he's like, I'm a grown man. This ain't even who I am. I do not remember if Nas had anything to say after that Jay-Z moment. But again, before that, they already both had diss songs going at each other. So they both had ample time to battle it out and to make their statement and to rap their ass off to pretty much say, not only am I the best rapper alive, I also was with your girl, or you're ugly, you know, whatever the case may be. So this is unprecedented. We do not know how Kendrick Lamar is going to respond. We just have to stand down, stay tuned. But for the sake of context, and again, let me know y'all thoughts about this. Hit me up. Y'all know where to find me, at Kenelia on social media. But for the sake of context, I'm going to play J. Cole's speech, which I believe he made it at Dreamville Fest, on stage right before, during, or after, somewhere within his set. So I'm going to play that for us now.
I've been happy. I've been moving on my own accord, off my own desires, my own wants. Now, why am I saying all of that? All of that shit led me up into this point. 10 years later, after this song, I'm here. Here I am. I've been just chasing my shit, you know what I mean? Like following my dream and just trying to like head to the fall off in the way that I wanted to do it. And so I put out this project on Friday called Might Delete Later. I don't know how many people done checked it out or whatever, but I put this project out. And I swear to God, I'm so proud of that project, because I know, one, it's just a lead up. It's just an EP that leads me up to this thing that I've been working on for a long time. And I know the work it took to get to a certain type of skill level. And I love this shit. So that shit mean a lot to me, right? So I'm so proud of that project, except for one part. It's one part of that shit that make me feel like, man, that's the lamest shit I ever did in my fucking life, right? And I know this is not what a lot of people want to hear. I know I can hear my niggas up there right now like, nah, don't do that. But I got to keep it 100 with y'all, right? I damn near had a relapse, right? Because y'all heard some shit that happened two, three weeks ago, however long it was. Y'all heard that bazooka that was dropped on the motherfucking game, right? So all of this time of me moving on my own accord, for the first time I was tested. Why am I tested? Because I got the world and I got my niggas like, What you gonna do, Cole? My nigga's like, boy, I must have had 1,000 missed calls. Oh my fucking God. Text flooded. I couldn't even answer my shit. Nigga, it's wartime. Boom, 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 right? Niggas wanna see blood. And I was conflicted because, one, I know my heart, you know what I mean? And like, I know how I feel about my peers, these two niggas that I just been blessed to even stand beside in this game, let alone chase their greatness, right? So I felt conflicted because I'm like, bro, I know I don't really feel no way. But the world want to see blood. I don't know if y'all can feel that, but the world want to see blood. So I say all of that to say, in my spirit of trying to like get this music out, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I moved in a way that I feel spiritually feel bad on me. Like I try to like jab my nigga back and I try to keep it friendly. But at the end of the day, when I listen to it and when it comes out and I see the talk, that shit don't sit right with my spirit. That shit make me feel, that shit disrupts my fucking peace. So what I want to say right here tonight is, in the midst of me doing that and in that shit, trying to find a little angle and downplay this nigga's fucking catalog and his greatness, I want to say right now tonight, how many people think Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest motherfuckers to ever touch a fucking microphone? Dreamville, y'all love Kendrick Lamar, correct? As do I. So I just want to come up here and be like, publicly be like, bro, that was the lamest, like, goofiest shit. And I say all that to say, it made me feel like 10 years ago when I was moving incorrectly. And I pray that God align me back up on my purpose and on my path. You know what I mean? I pray that my nigga really didn't feel no way. And if he did, my nigga, I got my chin out. Take your best shot. I'm going to take that shit on the chin, boy. Do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, all good. Like, it's love. And I pray that, you know, I pray that y'all are like, forgive a nigga for like the misstep, and then I can get back to my true path. Cause I ain't gonna lie to y'all, past 2 days felt terrible. Like, it let me know how good I've been sleeping for the past 10 years. So all of that to say, man, I wanna now perform the song that's a reminder to me of getting back on the right path and getting in tune with God. And the name of the song is called Love Yours. I wanna do that for y'all right now.
Let's talk basketball a little bit, women's basketball specifically, because as mentioned, women's basketball, college and professional, has had such a, just a dope, I won't even call it a resurgence, but boost over the past couple of years. And this past weekend, during the NCAA Women's Championship, a lot of discussion started to happen, especially in regards to the media, black teams, coaches, and so on. So let's spend a little time talking about that. So first, congratulations to South Carolina, the University of South Carolina women's basketball team, coached by Dawn Staley. She led this team to the national championship. They won against Iowa. There has been a lot of conversation and a lot of media coverage over the past year, maybe 2 years, about Caitlin Clark, who plays for Iowa. So once Iowa beat Louisiana State, LSU, which is led by Angel Reese, shout out to Angel Reese, we love her, the focus shift on Caitlin Clark and Iowa going up against University of South Carolina, who was undefeated this year. So being an undefeated team, any sport, especially at the collegiate level, that's insane. Especially considering the fact that last year, all of the starters on South Carolina's team left. So people would assume, or did assume, like, oh shoot, they got to start over. It's going to be a rough couple of years. They got to rebuild. The way they stacked that team last year, and they look like they're going to stack it again next year, they was cool. Okay. Starters left. Oh, that's crazy. We back up. Okay. Put the word out. We let them know we back up. Okay. So this game, I believe it was the most watched NCAA championship, women's championship game, basketball ever. I think it broke those records. I had the opportunity to watch. It will, when I tell y'all, this game was gooder than a mug. And I know a lot of it was probably because all of the media attention around it. And like we talked about last week, in the hierarchy of who you're supposed to root for, we were automatically rooting for University of South Carolina because the black coach, the black team, So they were able to pull out the win. Wonderful moment. Absolutely incredible. But then a couple things started happening during or before, during, and after. We all know that there is clear bias in the media. And I am saying this as someone who, as for a small portion of my life, a very small portion, worked in news. When I started working in local news, before, you know, you work in news, and for people who don't work in news, you have this idea that it's the man is at the top dictating what type of stuff is being reported and who's saying what, and it's an agenda, and it's the man. He at the top of the network telling stations to talk about all the black people and blah, 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 blah. When actuality, what is happening? There ain't no black people in that newsroom. It'd be just some regular old people who went to journalism school, producing these segments, producing these shows, running the newsroom, don't have a lot of exposure in regards to different demographics and different types of people. They're literally bringing their life experiences in the newsroom and are pitching, writing, and producing stories from their very limited perspective. So with that in mind, when it comes to covering women's basketball, if your perspective is very limited and you don't know nobody of color, don't know no black people, ain't got to know no black people in your small town, it was probably one black person and they wasn't even your friends. They was probably bullying. You just watched on the sideline, went to all white college, didn't have these experiences, didn't even know no people of other demographics outside of black. Now you in the newsroom, you gonna gravitate towards what is relatable to you and what you think the real world is. And in this case, Caitlin Clark and all of the conversation around her. So when we see the bias in the media, I want us to, one, start on the baseline and realize, in a lot of times, a lot of instances, that is why. You have people who literally are writing or producing from the perspective of their world, and the perspective of their world is very limited. But in regards to this, it became very, very, very jarring and very obvious, blatantly obvious, what was happening in real time. So, Caitlin Clark is a great basketball player. People were considering her, are considering her the greatest college basketball player of all time, right? A lot of what around that narrative is people only know the generation or the basketball that they see. So, you know, that conversation, that opens up another conversation to say, is she better than some of the greats? Because if you ask me, we got the Sherrills, right? Sheryl Miller, Sheryl Swoopes. You have Lisa Leslie. You have all of these people who can be considered great. But however, the news and the media have gravitated towards and picked up on this storyline, which people have been calling or comparing it to the Great White Hope. Remember, in boxing, I believe, I'll look up the exact time frame of that real quick. It was Jack Johnson fighting against James Jeffries in 1910. James Jeffries was a white man. Jack Johnson was a black man. But James became known as the Great White Hope because, similar to how what we're seeing now in media, people gravitate, the people who dominate media, gravitate towards what is relatable to them. So we started to see coverage that, one, completely ignored a team's undefeated record, right? And let's be clear, the South Carolina team ain't all black, but it has a black coach. But the media ignored an undefeated team and focused on the other team. They ignored Coach Dawn Staley, who winning this will have her with 3 national championships and will put her in the conversation as being one of the best college basketball coaches of all time. there were opportunities or moments during press conferences where Coach Staley was asked salacious or very soundbite leaning questions that were not asked to the other team. So some people viewed it as a method of sabotage, right? Distraction. Let's stir up all of this attention and this chatter around her as a method to distract. And sometimes I think some people are consciously doing things like that. But I think some people are unconsciously doing that because when you're so used to seeing it done or it's just a part of natural behavior, you don't know that you're doing something salacious or shady. So we had that the attempt to have negative attention around Coach Dawn Staley. We also tried, that also was trying to be a media attack on her for always giving glory to God and talking about her spirituality and her faith, which is one thing that really was jarring to me. And it was a complete sham because if I'm not mistaken, especially in the South, the majority of the South is Christian leaning and Christian facing. Basketball, sports fan bases, them people who be watching sports, they believe in them some God. So I feel like that was particularly misplaced. But again, it seemed like there were attempts to stir up some more controversy around that. And even during the basketball game, before, during, and after, particularly after, once the game was called, the horn sound, the South Carolina team won. I literally was sitting in my living room and it took the camera 7 or 8 full seconds once the game wrapped up to pan from Caitlin Clark over to the NCAA Women's Basketball National Champions. Literally just won the game. Literally they have an undefeated season in college basketball. A roster that is new after all of the starters left last year. And the camera didn't even pan off of the losers until close to 10 seconds. CNN then put up an article talking about the championship game and the winners. But by reading that and looking at the picture, you wouldn't even know South Carolina won because the picture that they initially used was of Caitlin Clark until they started getting dragged on Twitter, then finally decided to replace it and put a picture of the actual champions who the majority of them skew young Black women with a Black coach. So I say all that to say this. The first step is accepting and admitting that there are biases. I feel like people are still afraid to lean in and to accept and to publicly step out and admit that they are biased and the things that they discuss, report on, skew that way. Everybody want to act like they all neutral. Everybody wants to act like, especially in journalism, that they're non-biased. And no, this isn't about race. And it's obvious. And there is a level of being delusional or just a lack of self-awareness that will force you to believe or to think that it is not obvious to everyone else. We have to admit the bias. If you admit, I am viewing this game, this sport, this matchup through the lens of who I am as a human being, this is why I'm reporting this way, we will get a lot further than if we were trying to posture ourselves as, no, I wouldn't. It's not about that. It's a great basketball. I'm just, no, you're not. We have to admit the bias. It is very difficult in a field like journalism to admit the bias because you are basically, your clout and your credibility is staked in being unbiased and being neutral and being able to report on things. But as we see with this, with a new face or with the way journalism is skewing, that ain't the case. That is not the case. And even when it is skewing that way, again, having had that short stint in news, you can be non-biased, but even the way you say one word or the placement of one word can change a sentence in two different directions. You can literally have one sentence that said, a black man was pulled over by the police in Newark, New Jersey, and you can read it in two different ways and it can mean two different things. You can literally say, a black man was pulled over in Newark, New Jersey. Or you can say, a black man was pulled over in Newark, New Jersey. Just the inflection of one word can change the intent of that. But all of it is rooted in bias. So I would love for us to accept that and to start or to keep calling it out, because there is no way the media coverage after this game should have been what it was after a team had an undefeated season and you had the black coach. I believe Dawn Staley is the first black woman coach to have 3 national championships. There ain't no way this whole round of media coverage should have been skewed towards the losers. There is no way. The same way last year, the losers also got invited to the White House by the First Lady of the United States. They walked it back. But again, there are biases, because I ain't never seen no losers no other time get invited. So I'm getting fired up. I'm going to calm down. In order to calm me down, I'm going to play the clip of after the game where Coach Staley was interviewed right after winning the championship. And I play this because black people, we so unserious. Black people so funny. We are so funny. They done put the church organ underneath Coach Staley's message after the game, y'all. They done put the church organ underneath, but the message still is the same. She mentioned uncommon favor. The circumstances and all of this happening, this is uncommon favor. And it's just an incredible story, an incredible journey. And personally, I am so happy for her, because she seemed like she really cares about these players, the game of basketball. She really is about it. And you got to respect it. I'm also going to be looking forward to watching next season, because there's one girl that was coming off the bench. She a freshman. Her last name, Fuwali. Girl, child, she be hooping out here, okay? Fuwali be hooping. I'm talking about, I saw her hoop, I was like, who's that? She be hooping. So let me play that clip for y'all. Just a fun and just a praise-filled moment. And with that, let me know your thoughts about the media coverage in regards to these particular games. And let me know. You can find me at Kenelia on social media.
I gotta give honor to the Most High God for allowing us to be back at the same place in which we had sad tears. And I just want you to know that the God I serve, that's giving you unimaginable success. This is uncommon favor. Uncommon favor.
on this week's episode of Black News, we talked about the now former beef between Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and Asterisk Drake, because he hadn't said anything. And the fact that J. Cole apologized after releasing a diss track just a few days ago. We also talked about the University of South Carolina winning the women's NCAA championship in basketball and the biased media coverage that was surrounding that entire event. Hit me up and let me know your thoughts about all of these topics, some or none, and I'll check back with you guys next time. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again for supporting the podcast by sharing, liking, subscribing, and rating 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. To find more information about me, you can check me out at Kenelia on social media, as well as on my website, which is kenelia.com. And as always, thanks for supporting, and I'll be back next week with new topics and a new episode.